25 years ago, there was a show on television entitled Rescue 911. The program presented reenactments of real-life medical emergencies. Each episode included a serious accident, the call for help, the rapid response of rescue personnel, and the recovery of the victim. The show, although interesting and produced at a time when most municipalities did not have a 911 system, began to annoy my wife Ann and I more and more with each successive episode. Why? Well, the response system always worked perfectly. The emergency teams invariably knew what to do immediately. And the victims, without fail, had great recoveries. This just was not our life in Prairie du Chien. So within today's gospel reading from Mark is the story of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. It's one of the shortest healing accounts in the gospel. These three verses tell us of a desperate situation, a prompt and effective response, and a marvelous outcome. This is a rescue 911 Jesus style. In today's homily, we'll examine the words Mark uses to tell this dramatic story. Doing so, we will see the great relevance these lines have for us, for the flow of action in the story magnificently summarizes the whole of our life in Christ. These simple words can speak powerfully to us, as they did to the hearers 2,000 years ago. Mark starts the account. Immediately, he left the synagogue and entered the house. First, recall that in last week's gospel, Jesus was preaching and healing in the synagogue on the Sabbath. After he had cast out many demons from the sick man, Jesus left the synagogue in haste. He did not stick around to receive praises from the synagogue crowd. He knew that there was an emergency elsewhere. Mark, who uses the word immediately often in his gospel, is making the point that Jesus is on an urgent mission. Secondly, Jesus left the synagogue, God's house, and he went to Peter's house, man's house. In the incarnation, Jesus went out from his Father's house, the heavenly temple, and he entered the fallen world, our messy house. His mission, to heal the broken relationship between God and man. Lastly, in leaving the Capernaum synagogue, he left a most public and crowded place and entered a most quiet, private place. Jesus, throughout his ministry, has shown us that he came to heal the sick, no matter where they were to be found. He was actively gathering suffering humanity, whether it was the crowd pressing in upon him by the seashore or the single person lying in a small dark room. He had come to bind up the wounds of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and in seeking out Peter's mother-in-law, he left the 99 for the one lost sheep. Christ, on God's search and find mission, offered healing to everyone. No one was overlooked. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. Now, unlike many of those healed by Jesus who flocked to him, or like the paralyzed man who was brought to him, Jesus went to her. Why? Well, she had a high fever. That would have been understood from the time of Moses and throughout most of Christian era to mean this. Fever was understood to be a symptom of a serious physical condition. Yes, but it was also a curse that came upon the person who had broken the moral laws. As the early church father St. Ambrose put it, Peter's mother-in-law's fever represents our flesh affected by sins. Our fever is passion, our fever is lust, our fever is anger. Vices which, although they affect the body, perturb the soul, the mind, and the feelings. The evangelist's words would have been conveying this message to early Christians. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, a sinner, lying on her deathbed. This would have made it impossible for her to come to Jesus. It also would have meant one further thing. She would not have been able to ask him for a cure, for with a high fever, she would have been delirious. out of her mind, she would not have even been aware of his presence. The situation appeared hopeless, for she was helpless. Immediately they told him of her. The disciples, too, understood the seriousness of the woman's condition and asked Jesus to attend to her immediately. Jesus was teaching them early on in their discipleship that they had a role to play. And he came and took her by the hand. Christ, by coming to this woman's sick room and taking her by the hand, was breaking all the rules. The woman was sick. She was unclean. And for almost 2,000 years, it had been taught that whoever had contact with the infirm became contaminated or ill themselves. But Jesus, in his compassion, sought her out, stood over her, looked at her, and touched her. In describing Christ the physician, our catechism teaches us that Christ's compassion toward the sick and his many healings of every kind of physical, mental, and spiritual infirmity is a resplendent sign that God has visited his people. The kingdom of God is close at hand. The healing of the mother-in-law was an especially powerful sign because she had done nothing to earn or effect it. His presence and touch were pure gift, undeserved grace. The climactic words of the story are, "And he lifted her up." At that moment, she moved from death to life. In the Gospel of Luke, the words are slightly different and are translated, "And immediately she rose." Literally, Luke is saying she was resurrected. Christ has risen. He is Lord, was and is the crux of the Christian proclamation. The sick woman's rising is a foreshadowing of Christ's resurrection. As Christ will arise after death, she rose from her sickbed to new life. And the fever left her immediately. How effective and quick her healing was. The process for healing fever in biblical times was long and complicated. It is even so today with all our modern treatments. For broken bones, infected lungs, and damaged hearts rarely heal quickly. The suddenness of the mother-in-law's healing was a sign of Jesus' power. By his touch, she was healed. And the final words of the gospel, "And she served them." The Greek verb for serve is diakoneo, and it is in the open-ended imperfect tense. An accurate translation for these words would be, "She began serving, never to stop." Her one occupation after her healing will be her service to Christ and his body. Jesus raised her that she might evangelize, assist, comfort, and heal her neighbors. But he also raised her that she might enter into a permanent relationship of love with his very person. Her task is simply to love God and neighbor, now and forever. Now, I said at the beginning, these verses magnificently summarize the whole of our life in Christ. The truth of this is demonstrated vividly at each and every Mass we celebrate. In this hour, Jesus walks out of Scripture and into our lives. I'll say it again. In the Mass, Jesus walks out of Scripture and into our lives. How so? First, in the Confiteor, we acknowledge that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and what we've failed to do. Our condition is Peter's mother-in-law's condition. We are sinners. Our sin may be visible and obvious to all, like the leper or the paralytic, or it may be hidden to others or even to ourselves. Like Job and Peter's mother-in-law, who of us have not at times in our lives experienced a dark period when we felt abandoned, desolate, when we've suffered in silence? And like them, we are unable to help ourselves. We need God's grace. His grace comes in his very presence when our humble gifts of bread and wine are consecrated. The priest holds Jesus up and proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In that moment, when we look at Christ, realize this: He has sought us out. He stands over us. He gazes at us. He wants to reach out and touch us. And so we implore, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." A few moments later, at communion, we kneel in reverence before our King and receive him. By his touch, we are healed. We rise as we feel his strong arm powerfully lift us up. After the final blessing, we are dismissed to serve. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. In every Eucharistic celebration, we witness then a desperate situation, a prompt and effective response, and a marvelous outcome. We are sick. Jesus comes. We are healed and drawn into a relationship with love itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Out of this loving relationship flows a life of service. My brothers and sisters, this truly is a miracle.